How do we get from an injury-prone ex-Man United Academy prospect who won back-to-back Championship Golden Boot Awards to a late bloomer who was admired by Feyenoord fans for his retro hairstyle?
Hello and welcome to the Wikipedia Wanderers podcast, where for the first time, Josh, we have a user-submitted journey that we want to get through. Thank you very much to Scott, who submitted. We wanted to get from an injury ex-Man United Academy prospect in the shape of Sylvain Ebanks-Blake to... And then he let us have a little bit of free reign. I'll let you discuss this one.
Yeah, so it was. He's a Southampton fan. He's like, well, I want you to pick a player from the Southampton 15-16 season where Scott actually attended every game. And so it was kind of pick who he want. And I know he's a fan of Graziano Pella. So, like, why not? Two strikers, two goal scorers. It was out of our hands for most of it, but let's go with that.
I like it, yeah. I like it. It'll be very interesting because, obviously, we do research before the episode on the start and the end point, and I've not looked at your Pella research. We decided I'd take Sylvain Ebanks-Blake to start this one, and Josh is going to take Graziano Pella. But I literally have no idea where we can go. In my head, it feels like it should be relatively okay to link them together. Both full football has played in England. Pella's got international caps as well, and he's been around a little bit. So I think there's lots of ways in, but what's your thoughts on it? So before we get going, what's your thoughts?
Initial thoughts would be a Man United link, ex-Man United players, have some played for Southampton, or I don't know, final was quite a good point, and somewhere like that maybe. Pella didn't really have any honours to speak of in England because of being a Southampton player.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
That's sorry.
Turn Scott off, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be through clubs and players rather than, you know, we often quite like to be in the award section or, you know, a bit of a starting 11 in a final. That's what we quite like because it's like, oh, who played in that?
Yeah, okay. But, nice. Well, I'll start with Ebanks-Blake and we'll go from there.
Tell me about him.
So, he started his career at Cambridge. I always assumed it was just Man United. But
yeah, I thought he was, you know, started age like, you know, how they say, I've been at Manchester United for 13 years, and he started age like 7 or something.
But started at Cambridge and actually had agreed terms with them on a scholarship deal, but turned it down after a 2-week training camp at United, and they went, we'll have you. So he picked Man United, like I think anyone probably would if it was between Cambridge and Man United. And then did play for Man United in the League Cup twice. Scored against Barnet as well, which is pretty good for him. But his career struggled to take off. He was very highly regarded, but suffered in the 04-05 season a fractured leg. And it's not the only time in his career that's happened. We'll get onto that a bit later. But made his return into the reserve team, scored a hat-trick, got placed in the Champions League squad, made the matchday squad a couple of times, but never made an appearance, and was one of those players around early noughties, late 90s, that was sent to Royal Antwerp on loan. Can you remember that?
Oh, I do remember the Royal Antwerp loan. I remember Richie Delatt player I would say epitomises that.
I was a big fan of Richie Delatt, and I'll give you one reason why you think I was a big fan of him.
Because he's got a fun name?
No, close. Actually, very close. Long throw. obviously.
Do you know, I was watching, it must have been Football Focus, and I had Dave Challoner on it, who's now managing someone. Oh, it was the FA Cup match. It was Wickham, maybe, or someone. This is such detail. Yeah. But Dave Challoner. Dave Challoner is the main crux at that point, who had a long throw.
Long throw, yeah. He did. Good. Right, let's
bring Richie Delatt, surprisingly fast.
Yeah. It was very quick. It was a fullback, wasn't he? Moved to Leicester as well, I think, after United. Maybe there was a move abroad in there as well. But yeah, not a bad player. He scored 4 in 9 games for Royal Antwerp at the back end of their season. And then Plymouth bought him. £300,000, which...
Well, I've got a vague memory of Plymouth with him, actually, yeah.
And he did all right there, 1 in 3 as a striker in the Championship for Plymouth, 21 in 66. And then Wolves actually were so impressed that they paid his buyout clause. Something you don't hear too much in England, yeah.
No.
All right, £1.5 million. So Plymouth made a nice £1.2 million profit on Sylvain Ebanks-Blake. And he actually ended the 07-08 season with the Championship Golden Boot. 23 goals in total. He scored 11 for Plymouth and 12 for Wolves. So they signed him in the January, so that's a pretty consistent performance.
Yeah, 11 at Plymouth, 12 at Wolves. That's nice.
And then moving on into the next season, he had a few little niggly injuries, mainly around his calf, and scored the final goal of the 08-09 campaign against Queen's Park Rangers, which gave Wolves a 1-0 win, and secured their promotion to the Premier League. So quite a big goal there for them. And again, finished the Championship season with the Golden Boot. 25 goals this time, which was good. So he retained it. Wolves gave him a 4-year deal, and they were going up to the Premier League, the promised land of the Premier League. And what do you do when you get promoted to the Premier League as a new team from the Championship? You completely change all your tactics and play with one man up front. And that one man was Kevin Doyle under Mick McCarthy.
So it was. Yeah.
So this always irks me because I'm a big Football Manager player. You're a Football Manager player. If you are in a lower division and your top goal scorer wins most goals scored in the league that year and you get promoted, do you go out and look for a better goal scorer or do you give him a chance? I'm just intrigued because I like to give them a chance if they've proven themselves.
I'd like to give them a chance. Yeah. I would also be sniffing around other players. I would probably have a look. I would be having if I thought someone looked a bit better, but I'd like to think I'd maybe be given a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mick McCarthy didn't do that. But again, proving he's a big goal scorer, scorer of important goals is probably a better way to describe it. He scored his second goal of the season against Blackburn, and it kept Wolves in the Premier League. So,
That's nice. So I can see here a real step down. 23 appearances, 2 goals, but at least they're important. One was, I think.
Important. The next season, he scored 4 goals before Christmas, one of them against Man United. There's always a bit of romance there in it, scoring against an old club. But again, it was hampered by injury for the rest of the time at Wolves, and including a broken fibula. So that's check mark number 2 for broken legs.
Oh dear.
For Sylvain Ebanks-Blake. And then after that, the career really goes downhill. I can see you looking at the stats now. Ipswich, 9 games. Preston, 9 games. He went to Chesterfield in League One, I think it was, for 46 games. He scored 12 goals, but then also moved on loan to Shrewsbury, which doesn't suggest they were happy with his output and his performance. Then it goes to non-league, AFC Telford, Howes Owen, Barwell, and Walsall Wood, where he scored 2 goals in 5 games and then suffered a broken leg for the third time in his career.
Oh my goodness, that damn leg.
So, all in all, really, I mean, he clearly had talent, I think. The Championship's era at Plymouth and Wolves showed that he could score goals, but it sort of reminded me of Who's that guy I'm thinking? Who's the guy that you or Jim signed on manager? Jordan Rhodes.
That was me.
Jordan Rhodes. To Russia, wasn't it? You signed him when we were in Russia.
I did, yeah. I gave him a big contract in Russia because he proved himself in the Championship, yes.
Yes, and struggled in the Premier League when he's gone up. And that's what it reminded me of. And I feel like it shows what happens when a manager maybe not panics, but maybe thinks they're a bit under prepared for the Premier League, because the big change in tactics just ruined Sylvain Ebanks-Blake's career. So, yeah, all in all, he seemed to be good and then really quickly drop off a cliff, and it's probably down to the injuries and
You look at 114 career goals in total, and almost half those were in the 2 seasons in the Championship where he was top scorer.
Yeah.
48 of them would be out of 114, so what, 45%, which is pretty remarkable. When you add that other Championship season, it's all Championship goals, really, isn't it?
It is.
And there's a lot so he's had the season with Plymouth, 2 seasons with Plymouth and 2 seasons with Wolves is where he scored majority of the goals. And so, I mean, I'm going to flick down to honours. There's not going to be much, is there? There's going to be the Championship title, and that's the only club honour he's got. And then we've got a few individual team of the year in the Championship in that season. We've got Golden Boots, obviously, Player of the Month. I've not heard this one before. Denzel Haroon, Reserve Team Player of the Year 2004-05. So that would be with
Man United.
Man United. So do you know who Denzel Haroon is?
I don't, but I did know that as the under-23s player of the year, yeah. I think it may have changed name now. I'm not sure. Obviously, we can't hover. I think it feels like that's
a clickable link there. What it will take us to, I'm not sure.
Exactly. Okay. But we've got to get from him to Graziano Pella. So tell us a little bit about the very interesting man that is Graziano Pella.
Yeah. So early life, could have been a ballroom dancer. Was an under-12 championship with his partner, which was his sister, which I think he's just... I don't really know anything into it. I think that is just par for the course when you're a young ballroom dancer. I think it's brother and sister is often the case.
Speaking from experience there, as a young ballroom dancer.
I've never ballroom danced. Yeah. But he didn't choose ballroom dance. He chose football. But it was a very slow start to his career. First 9 years of his career, really quite poor. It was at Lecce, but they really didn't care for him. Lots of loans, 3 loan spells where he didn't really put up any trees. 16 goals in something like 60-odd appearances in through his time as Lecce. So he leaves Lecce and goes, a bit of a strange one, goes to Holland, goes to AZ Alkmaar. And again, it's not, goals aren't really coming thick and fast. 14 goals in 78 league appearances. And he even runs down his contract at the end of that, 4 years there. And he, again, no transfer fee. He did win the league in that time because he was managed by Louis van Gaal in that time.
Nice.
But it wasn't... So he's had experience with Italian leagues and the Dutch league and done very little. So he goes back to the Italian league. But again, he's not treated very well here. He goes back to Parma. He's there for a couple of years, but he gets loaned out again in both seasons. He gets loaned out because he's only got one goal in 12 appearances for Parma. First loan to Sampdoria. Not much to talk about. Then, 12-13 season. So he's a wiser man now. He's 27 and he's still not really found his feet and found what's interesting and found the back of the net, really. But that is the season. He gets 27 goals in 29 league appearances there. That's it. And so he ranks second in the domestic charts for goal scoring. He actually, in terms of foreign Italian players playing abroad, he broke Luca Toni's record in terms of he scored goals in Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And a player we've spoken about previously, Christian Vieri at Atletico Madrid, he scored more goals than him as an Italian abroad. So fantastic season. And then, so he signs permanently for Feyenoord then. And just, you know, so it's only 2 seasons he has at Feyenoord, but that second season, 23 goals and 28 appearances. He's loving it there. That's what, 50 goals in about 60 appearances. And as I mentioned up front, he was a bit of a fan favourite. They loved his retro hairstyle. There's home games fans turned up with the same haircut. There's apparently some tutorials on YouTube how to get your hair in that style.
I'm trying to remember his hairstyle. Wasn't it just like parting on the side, comb over?
Yeah, like it was very pristine, though. It was like it didn't really come out of place.
Okay.
It was nice, yeah. But he kind of like, you could be seen as someone like during the World War II kind of look. So about kind of 40s. But off the back of that is where Southampton signed him. So 3-year deal, finally some money changing hands, 8 million. And it actually reunites him with a former boss. Ronald Koeman was also in charge at AZ and Feyenoord. And, you know, it's a decent return in his first season. We've got kind of 12 goals, and then similarly in the second season, 11 goals. So this is a Southampton side who are doing okay. They're pretty better than they are now, but for us, that side, that's pretty good, really, isn't it? You'd say like 12, 11 goals in the Premier League. It's decent.
Memories of him scoring goals, thinking that it was more than 11 and 12. So
I can understand that. And he scored some nice goals, I think some overhead kicks. He's good in the air, wasn't he? He's a quite tall player. Overall, 6'4", bigger than Christian Daly.
Taller than Christian Daly, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Now, like I said, this move is, when it happened, I found it surprising. And it still seems surprising, because he's only 36 now. So maybe it's the fact that they're going to get more money for him. So Southampton sold him to China, Shandong Luang, 12 million. So actually made money on him, and he would have been... He'd been 31 at the time,
yeah.
So that's probably a bit too good to refuse, I'd say.
That smells a bit like board of directors potentially making a decision to say, well, we're never going to get better than this, so take it.
Yeah, and I think Graziano Pelle probably thought, I'm not going to get better than this, because he became his seventh highest paid player in the world. He was earning 350 grand a week.
That's insane.
Insane, right? So he did well there. 52 goals, 106 experience. I say did well. You probably need something to tell you how good, you know, one in two is good, but should he be doing better? Not sure. But yeah. And then, but he did actually come back. So last year he joined Parma.
Okay.
And he was at Parma. I mean, he's a glutton for punishment with Serie A, isn't he?
He really is, yeah.
He just wanted to make it in Serie A. And that's a funny thing, actually, looking at it. I'm not, this is doing it on the fly, but he's scored very few goals in Italy, isn't he? Serie A, no goals for Lecce, one goal for Parma, first time round, Sampdoria of Serie B. So he scored two goals in Serie A throughout his career.
That's dreadful.
And it's not loads and loads of appearances, but it's also surprising there's not many appearances. So there's 25 appearances for Parma and 12 appearances for Lecce in Serie A for an Italian forward. And this is an Italian forward who did go on to play for Italy. So
that's just what I was thinking about. That would be an amazing quiz question. Which ex-Premier League striker has 20 caps and 9 goals for Italy, but only 10 appearances in Serie A, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's got more goals for Italy than he does in Serie A.
Yeah.
9 goals for Italy, and we'll just say kind of 2, is it? 2 or 3? It's almost equal, isn't it? 20 appearances for Italy, 9 goals. But it's the late bloom a bit I want to touch on. So his first 9 years, so he's overall 500 appearances, 188 goals, which is, you know, a decent return overall.
Yeah.
But if you look at that in terms of appearances between the years, so first 9 years he's getting 1 in 5, 40 goals in roughly 200 appearances. His last 9 years, 150 goals in roughly 300 appearances, so 1 in 2. It's just a stark difference, and it's just become that settled behavior, isn't it? So much of his early career is rooted in loan deals, and you wonder whether he just didn't, and that was part of him choosing to leave Lecce, because they were going to loan him out again to Palermo if he'd stayed at Lecce at the time. So he's like, no, I'm leaving. And you know, I think that maybe that was the right move for him. We've seen that, we saw it with Andros Townsend, didn't we? He had lots of loan deals and then, you know, settled, you know, I'm gonna try and make it to Spurs, made it to Spurs, but then when I'm settled and moving permanently to clubs rather than loan deals. And Harry Kane similarly had lots of loan deals throughout his early career.
It's really interesting, actually, just looking at the top right section that we still don't have a name for. Lecce, I'm going to assume 2004 is where he played for Lecce, 12 appearances. And then 2005, Catania, 15 appearances. No goals, but was picked for the Italy under-20 team and scored 7 in 10.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just suited to a certain style and they just weren't using it. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a somewhat distinct style, I think. He was... Yeah.
Target man, wasn't he? He was a target man.
Target man, yeah. And so internationally, he did go to the World Cup and he got knocked out in the quarterfinals, and he actually missed a penalty in the shootout in a 6-5 defeat. And in the events after the match, Pelé issued an apology to the fans of the national team, stating, "Do my Euros remain positive? I couldn't care less right now. I'm just sad and want to apologise to all Italians. If I'd scored that penalty, I'd have become a phenomenon. But instead, I arrived here as a nobody and I leave as a nobody."
Aww.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
It is a bit sad, yeah.
The pressures of international football. So, yeah, so that was in the Euros. It was World Champions Germany they got knocked out to. So, no personal life section for Graziano Pelle. Is a closed book. We don't know. We don't know anything about him, apart from that hairstyle.
Yeah. Do you reckon players are allowed to say things to, like, contact Wikipedia and be like, if someone writes something about a personal thing about me, I don't want anything on their personal, about marriage, life, kids. Do you reckon they can request to get it removed?
I don't know. Maybe it'd be you could report it and flag it. And I don't know if it'll be because they're a certain person. I think it'll be those things are probably watched out for, because you need, obviously, as you know, Dave, you need to cite your references.
I do. Yeah, I do know that. Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah. Just looking at his international goals, he scored against England. A goal against England and Scotland in terms of home nations, so that's quite nice for him. And honours, we've got the won the league, as I said, with AZ, won the Chinese FA Cup, and also the Toulon tournament. Oh my goodness, that's something I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah,
the under 21 tournament. Okay, so Fruit's in. We've got a few different clubs. Clubs already been mentioned though. Shandong Luang, you'd imagine, to be mentioned.
Yeah.
And probably Southampton, maybe Southampton, maybe Feyenoord, is what I'd say in clubs mentioned.
Agreed? Yeah, I would agree. I think Southampton would be a push to say that he's mentioned. If you think about the other players that Southampton have had and bought and sold, I mean, Mane would get a mention, I'd imagine, on Southampton's page. And are you going to put Pelé in the same bracket as Mane? I don't think you get Van Dijk. Like, I don't think you can. I'm not sure he'd get that. Okay.
So, obviously, was in Euro 2016.
Yep.
Root in. And other than that, I'm not sure where you're getting to him, really.
Premier League Player of the Month.
Okay.
Potentially. I mean, Ebanks Blake won't have it, but we can probably link to someone from Ebanks Blake who has won a Player of the Month. Not sure about that.
So, okay, so back to Sylvania Ebanks Blake in terms of where you want to go from him. I initially want to state my want to go to Royal Antwerp on loan, please.
Yeah. I'm happy to go to Royal Antwerp, or I'm also very happy to look at the Denzel Haroon Reserve Team Player of the Year Award, just to see if it is still the Denzel Haroon Reserve Team Player of the Year Award and see who else has picked up. Maybe someone's picked up who then moved to Southampton.
You know what? I don't mind that at all.
But maybe someone's been to Royal Antwerp who's moved to Southampton.
Yeah, you'd like to think Royal Antwerp will have a section going, there's got to be something like Man United link or affiliated club, wasn't it? And a list of notable players who've played for them, I'd imagine.
Yeah. I mean, I'd still be interested to know if that affiliation still exists.
Did David Beckham ever do it? I don't think he did.
Preston, didn't he, under David Moyes?
Preston loan. Yeah.
I don't think any of the class of 92 did. Darren Gibson went there. That was probably the main person I remember who made a number of Premier League appearances is Darren Gibson.
Nicky Butt, maybe?
Nicky Butt might have done.
Oh, this feels like we need to go there, Dave.
All right, then. Let's go. Royal Antwerp. That's where we're going. Let's go.
Royal Antwerp Football Club. Oh, they have a nickname, the Great Old, because apparently they are regarded as the oldest club in Belgium. 1880 was founded. Similar to English league clubs, really, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, like 1882, I think, the Spurs. Manager is Brian Prisk, not a name I'm wholly familiar with. Playing red, then away colours white. What we got here? Current squad, where I go down to.
That's where I always go.
Hello. We've got some names. Richard Delatte loved his time there I presume he was on loan, but is now here permanently. Raja Nainggolan, the very exuberant and aggressive centre mid. Yes, yeah. There we go. Bjorn Engels, was he?
Aston Villa
centre back?
Yeah, I think so.
A big guy. Victor Fischer, wasn't he a one time Ajax starlet?
He was, a very highly rated Victor Fischer, yeah.
God, it's always a good link between Congo and Belgium, isn't there? So we've got a couple of Congolese players there. What else have we got?
Mbwana Samata. Isn't that Aston Villa? Samata?
Aston Villa forward. Was he signed as like January after Wesley got injured?
Crocked,
I don't know where Wesley is. Wesley, where are you?
Wesley!
Okay, so they got some players and... I've got a rogue American there. Sam Vines. Have you heard of Sam Vines?
I was just thinking, that is a wonderful mix of nationalities.
That is.
USA,
do you reckon
Angolan,
we've got some
Ghana,
cliques?
Senegalese, yeah. Tanzania. Love it.
I reckon we've got some cliques here. So I reckon we've got the kind of the African cliques with the Congolese players, Tanzanian players, Senegalese, Ghanaians, Angolans. And we've got, I don't know, maybe Belgians and the French. I don't know. Who Sam Vines is clicking with. Oh, we've got a Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely linking them. Maybe even Koji Miyoshi, but kind of that Western world. Love it. I always think about that with clubs. There will be groups, pockets of players who are friends with each other.
Yeah.
I often look at that and think that. Okay. And we have...
Just before we move on, I'm intrigued by the other players under contract. And there's one guy in there. Jonathan
Bellingham.
I feel
like he's done something wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like he's either wronged the club and so they've contracted him but not registered him, or he's failed some drugs test. I mean, this is very sorry to Jonathan Bellingham and his family. I'm just hypothesising of what's happened here, but yeah, maybe it's all kosher and just signed after a transfer window closed somewhere. And now the section we're interested in, we have Manchester United Players Loan Partnership. This is a list of former players acquired on loan by Manchester United Partnership with Royal Antwerp from 1998 to 2013. Now, I'm assuming it ended then, rather than just the list is up until then.
I would read that as that's when it's ended, yeah. I'd read that as when it ended.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly rattle through some names. So I don't remember Jamie Wood was... No, I don't think it's an Australian flag either. That's something. Jamie Wood, we've got Dong Fangzu Ho, Fraser Campbell, Luke Chadwick, Sylvain Van Blake, obviously. David Fox, wasn't he a left-back? Was he at Burnley for a little while? Tom Heaton. We have Richie Jones. I don't actually see Richie. Do I see Richie Delap?
No, he's not on there.
No, he's not. Paul Rutschubga, Ryan Shawcross, Danny Simpson, Ronnie Woolwork, Danny Higginbottom. Was he Gibraltar in the end?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, John O'Shea, Darren Gibson. Oh, I don't recognise this name. This is a good name, though. Giuliano Van Velzen.
I recognise that name. Champ manager, back in the day.
Do you know if he played for Feyenoord or AZ Alkmaar?
Oh, I'm probably going to say no, he didn't, because I don't think he was even very good back in Champ Manager 102 when all of the Man United youth kids were brilliant.
Okay, we've got Craig Cathcart, Johnny Evans, Phil Bardley, David Gray, another one I don't remember, Suleiman Mamam.
Don't recognise that name.
No. Is there any other names you don't recognise in this list? Arthur Gomez.
Arthur Gomez I recognise, as being a youngster on Football Manager or Champ Manager. Michael Lee I'm struggling with to remember.
L-E-A.
And Kirk Hilton is another one I'm not too familiar with.
No. My next favourite section is see also on this page, Club Pioneers. On Royal Antwerp's page, they've got a see also club. They consider themselves a club pioneer, which is just lovely.
Yeah, that's. I want to click on that.
So we've got some honours. What did they do? They won the Belgium Cup in 1920. Haven't won the league. Blimey, haven't won the league since the 50s.
Bloody hell.
Do you reckon we know about them because of that Man United link then, and they wouldn't be that notable?
100%. I think that's the only reason we know about them,
Yeah, because they've won absolutely... They were runners-up in the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup in 1992-93.
Impressive.
Which is quite cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, it is really bleak. Oh, the Muse Scheldt Cup. The best football players of Antwerp and Rotterdam contested a yearly match between 1909 and 1959. It was agreed to play the game at Antwerp Stadium in Belgium and at the Sparta Rotterdam Stadium in Netherlands. This cup was provided in 1909 by P. Habneth from Antwerp and Kees van Hasselt from Rotterdam. Historical page overall, isn't it?
It is very historical. Something about that Muse Scheldt Cup confuses me. The best footballers of Antwerp and Rotterdam. Does that mean normally they weren't playing their best team? What does it mean by the best players of Antwerp and Rotterdam contested a yearly match?
Yeah, you'd think it would be just Antwerp versus Rotterdam.
Yeah.
But is there, so can other people get involved? Like, I actually played really well for another club, but I'm from Antwerp.
Yeah.
What annoys me, actually, is in the rivalry section, the colour coding of the result isn't very Wikipedia.
No, but I'll tell you what it is, though. Do you know why it's that colour? Because red is Antwerp 1, purple is Beerschot 1, and grey is a draw.
Oh, I'll take it back.
Yeah, because Beerschot play in purple. I only know that because I like teams in purple kits.
So. There you go.
Yeah.
I love how in the history, it immediately mentioned Dong Fangzhuo was unable to play for United due to work problems and loans allowed him to gain first team experience. Okay, so we don't directly have a link to Graziano Pella.
That's shocking.
But we have learned a bit about Royal Antwerp. They're living in the past, all right?
They are. I'm trying to really rack my head about what red and white strip I can see Danny Higginbotham in.
I'm pretty sure it's Stoke. It's got Tony Pulis's Stoke written all over it.
Yeah, he definitely played for Stoke, but did he play for Sunderland before that?
Why do you want Sunderland?
Because I'm doing a Sunderland Football Manager playthrough at the moment, and it's on my mind. I meant Southampton. Okay. Yeah.
But do we want Southampton? Because I'm pretty sure you just said that you don't think he'll be mentioned on Southampton's page.
You've got me there. Yeah.
Right. Anyone got a Feyenoord link then, maybe?
I mean, we could try Giuliano van Velzen. He may have come through a youth academy at Feyenoord or AZ.
I'm just having a look at the main. So we've got Victor Fischer, obviously. I think he's Ajax.
Dongfang Zhou played in China.
He did.
He played for. Oh, we've signed him from a team in blue, which I know isn't Pella's team, but he definitely would have played in the Chinese Premier League.
I'm not sure we can even ignore this fact. Why would we not go to Dongfang Zhuo?
I love Dongfang Zhuo.
That is a name epitomises the Antwerp link and the commercial aspect of transfers, especially for Man United. Dongfang Zhuo is the next page.
Here we go. Yeah, done. Agreed. Fang Zhou Dong, which is actually the right way around to say it, the Western name.
Oh, la-di-da.
Well, I'm based in Asia, so you learn things, don't you? You learn things. A Chinese former professional footballer who played as a forward. Born 23rd of January 1985, Josh, so older than us.
Ooh, yeah.
That's good. That's good. It's pretty bleak, isn't it? His profile and his attributes and... Oh, it's not brilliant.
His choices he made here is where I think it all goes wrong. And you can understand the choice of wanting to join Man United.
I think the Man United thing seemed to sort of make sense with what Alex Ferguson was saying. There was potential there. And you're right, I think you wouldn't turn it down if Dalian, you know, accepted a bid for you. You're not going to say no to Man United. But he'd only scored 2 goals in China before Man United signed him. For Dalian's side along, and then moved to Dalian's side and played 8, scored none. 1 game for Man United, didn't score. Royal Antwerp is the loan, 34-71. That's pretty decent.
It took a while to get him going. So his second season, he scored 6 in his first 7, all as substitute, and then only managed another single goal in the rest of the season.
Yeah,
and because he was playing internationally at the time. It's then the next season he scored. He was top scorer. But I didn't realise this. Antwerp were in the second division.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and 2 hat-tricks. And then he was kind of, you know, back at United doing pre-season, and Alex Ferguson was like, yeah, he's got a chance. But it was initially thought that he could only get Belgian citizenship but he'd have to lose his Chinese citizenship, so he didn't do it. So he then, ages, 3 years after his original signing, he eventually got his... work permit in England, but he again went on, you know, alone to Antwerp still in that season, 11 goals and 15 appearances. But then he gets recalled in January of 2007, and that for me, I think it's just hope, isn't it? Like, come on, he came on as a substitute for Alan Smith. He's partnering Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You got Wayne Rooney.
I feel like if he had taken that opportunity to become, and you know, I don't think anyone wants to give up their actual nationality of Chinese in this case. If he had taken up that Belgian citizenship and lost his Chinese nationality, he would have been in the Man United setup much earlier, and therefore I think got many more chances potentially. But
I don't think you can make that kind of sacrifice.
Football's
very fickle, isn't it? And sort of like saying, yeah, go on, join us, and then, you know, at the start of the 08-09 season, he wasn't even given a squad number. That was given to Raphael, and so they terminated his contract.
Yeah, and I agree, but I feel like the point I'm trying to make is that I think the squad has probably evolved with another 2-year loan to Antwerp. Like, there's other young players that can come in and play who are going to impress. You sign Alan Smith.
Yeah, it's all about timing, isn't it? You see players join clubs, and they're at clubs. But like, I always think of the fact that Salah, Firmino, and Mane are at Liverpool at the same time as Klopp at the right age is just a perfect storm. They are going to have their careers going to be made from it. They could easily have just bumbled around in different divisions and different clubs and made the wrong transfer choice and scored nowhere near the amount of goals.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was some potential there. I mean, he scored in 2 pre-season friendlies for Man United. I watched one of them on TV and got very excited by him. And a side story, Football Manager, Champ Manager, that sort of era, I always kept him at Man United and tried to make him a really good player, or I bought him when I was another team. Yeah,
I would do the same. I'd be like, and he would be a passenger. I didn't do the same, but I'd go, like, you know what, you are going to become great, you make your family proud, I will give you Champions League winners medals. Yeah. And you
exactly, but yeah, it didn't work out. So then he moved back to China, back to Dalian Shide, where he played 26 times in 2 years, scoring zero goals. And weight of expectation is sort of hints to that, doesn't it? Like, expectations were really high because he had come back from Man United, but didn't score. I mean, this says Dong struggled to score goals. I would change that to Dong didn't score goals and therefore was relegated to the reserves.
And therefore didn't get chosen for the national team because of it.
Yeah.
His national team's got a very strange setup in the top right because it goes China under 20, China, and then China under 23s, basically because it's in chronological order. So that's saying that he didn't appear for the Chinese national team after the age of 23. Because he was still able to play for the under-23s, because he just wasn't... Basically, it ties in with his Man United career, doesn't it?
It does, and that was one of the reasons he got the work permit to play in England, wasn't it? Because he had had enough caps for China, so I wonder if there was a bit of a underhanding deal going on there for something. But after that, he left Dalian Alli, returned to Europe. Legia Warsaw, got a contract there, but 2 games, 0 goals. Porto Minose in Portugal, where... he was signed on the recommendation of former teammate Cristiano Ronaldo. So he must have done something right at Man United. He must have done. But a 1-year deal. He was not really used on the bench for most of his time there. Got frustrated, terminated his contract. He was linked to Serbian Super League side FK Slobodan Pointsivojano. I've nailed that. And the club offered him a long-term deal. He turned it down because he wanted a short-term deal, asking for £10,000 a week. That wouldn't happen in today's world, would it?
Have you ever heard of a player wanting a shorter deal?
No.
They're normally all clamouring for... So, I mean, I'm not quite sure when this is. So, this is going to be at least kind of 2012. So, he's going to be... Oh, he's not even going to be that old at that time. He actually retires age 29, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. 2011 was when that was all happening. And then... Like, does take a contract with Mika in the Armenian Premier League, and he leaves there and returns to China. Well, goes down a division in China to League One to sign for Hunan Billows. Played for 2 years and scored 9 goals, and then joined another second tier team, Hebi Zhengong, and scored 2 in 7. And then just thought, I'm giving up. I've had enough.
And he's had enough. Yeah.
51 goals in 200 appearances. Is his record, and it's just what could have been. There could have been people walking around with Dong on the back of their shirts if it had worked out properly.
Could be, well. Yeah.
So, but the main thing, Josh, oh, and he scored a goal for China against Switzerland in a 4-1 loss, but, you know, no, it's not Northern Ireland, is it? So no one
Unfortunately,
cares.
We don't have a breakdown. We don't have a breakdown of his stats. I mean, that is a big action if you wanted to take that, Dave.
I'm not taking great that. You can sod right
career
off.
Career statistics. Yeah.
Sod right off with that one. But what do we do? Are we going Dalian? Is it Dalian Shade?
I think we go Dalian in China. That's basically the link we've got at the moment is China, isn't it? Because there's not much else crossing over. So I say, do we know Dalian Shide are the top league?
They were in the Chinese. Well, they were in the Chinese top league before it became the Super League, I think. So I don't know what they're up to now.
I know this. There's two Dalians here. I know of Dalian, but I just thought it had a different suffix.
It could be a translation thing,
or it could be this side no longer exists.
It could also be that, yeah.
Because there's been a lot of change in structure in Chinese football.
There has.
But we have very little, unless we have Chinese, because it's Chinese Super League now, isn't it?
That's what I mean. It's not. I think this is before the Chinese Super League even existed.
Oh, God.
Because there's a link to China League One. At the end of the season, he left Mika and joined China League One side Hunan Billows.
That doesn't sound good.
No, but I think we need to go to Dalian.
Okay, let's go down Dalian Shide.
Dalian Shide, yeah, let's go there.
Dalian Shide FC, with a lovely badge, I would say, actually. Although the figure in it, I presume, is trying to kick a football, but it doesn't look too good. But I love the colours, I'd say.
I really like the colours. Now you've mentioned that, it does look like he could have a very right-angled shaped penis.
The reach around, okay. So they were a club. They were from 1955 to 2012, so not as old as Royal Antwerp. They played at the Dalian People Stadium then until 1997. Then they moved to Jinzhou Stadium. 30,000, 31,000? Yeah, okay, not massive. I'd be interested to know what their attendance was in those times. With lots of name changes, so Dalian Shipyards, Dalian Football Club, Dalian Hulao, Dalian Wanda, Dalian Wanda Shide, Dalian Shide. So we have a, there's a section, this is a misleading section, last squad, and there's absolutely nothing in it apart from retired foot numbers in football. And Zhang Lanin, his number was retired. They can't be calling it last squad, can they?
Action.
Action.
That's 100% an action, that, yeah, that needs changing. That needs just to be called retired numbers.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't need to be under last squad, yeah. There's a few, you know, last coaching staff, don't recognise anyone on that. Managerial history. Vladimir Petrovic is probably the only name I recognise on that.
Yeah, very Eastern European for a while, wasn't it?
It was,
We've got all of them the same nationality. Was that Serbian?
Serbia, yeah, that's Serbia.
Yeah, we've got four Serbian managers there. Kosanović, Petrovic. Oh, no, Kosanović has it twice. And then Dostanić. That's strange. There's nothing alludes to why there was a strong Serbian presence, was there?
Also, you've got to feel bad for Nelo Viganda, the last manager. Before him, there was two caretakers. He comes in and the club gets dissolved.
Yeah.
But they've got a number of honours there, including amateur period. So they won the Chinese Jia A-League / Super League in 94, 96, 97, 98, 2000, 01, 02, 05. The B League, the League Two, the Chinese FA Cup. Didn't Pelle win the FA Cup?
Yes, he won the Chinese FA Cup in 2020.
Oh, 92, 01 and 05. The Chinese Super Cup, 97, 01, 03. The Asia Club Championship, Asian Cup Winners' Cup, Asian Club Championship runner-up, and then a couple of youth things as well. So, pretty successful, to be honest.
Okay. But so, our point from here can either be the Chinese Super League or the Chinese FA Cup, then?
I feel like Super League may be a bit safer because Pelle might get a mention in the actual Super League page.
Scored a lot of goals, hasn't he?
Yeah, scored a lot of goals.
What we got here? We got
paid a lot of money.
A lot of goals. 52 goals. Is that enough to be like a top goal scorer or something? It might then go in Oscar.
Hulk. Yes.
Yeah, who are you getting for? Oscar, Hulk. Who else have we had over there?
Oh, Tevez. He went for a season.
Tevez went. Yeah. I doubt he's got more. If he's got more than 52, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know. Who else went there? They had a big influx of
Arnautovic,
yeah. Arnautovic, Fellaini, Talisca.
Yeah, Dembele.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's hopefully it's got something like that and we can have a little squeeze at who these players are.
Let's go to Super League. The Chinese Football Association Super League. Currently known as the China Ping and Chinese Football Association Super League due to sponsorship reasons. Literally what it says on there, obviously. okay, quick summary. You get relegated to the Chinese League One. You can play in the FA Cup and the FA Super Cup as well. You qualify for the AFC Champions League. The current champions are Yangsu Suning in 2020. But Guangzhou, who I think is the most famous team in China, I think everyone knows that one, are the most championship winners with 8. Most appearances, Zhang Ji, 350. Top goal scorer of all time is Elkson, 107 goals. So
not heard of you, Elkson.
No, but Pelle is quite short of that. So
yes. It's one of the most popular professional sports in China. Average attendance of 24,000 for league matches. The 12th highest of any domestic professional sports league and the 6th highest of any professional football league. So behind Bundesliga, Premier Liga, La Liga, Serie A, Liga. Oh, is that Mexico?
Mexico, MX.
Yeah. I managed to pronounce Premier Liga instead of Premier League. That's quite impressive. My own league. Okay. There's a lot of stuff on this page. There's a lot of sections. We've got current clubs. This is data heavy.
It is.
Okay, so we've got the season of the champions. We've got the performances and the cups. We've got current clubs, and it also gives the percentage ownership, the capacity of the stadiums, the best finish, worst finish. The spell they've had in the top flight. So we're looking for, it's Shandong Luang is the side, isn't it? It must be Shandong Taishan now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it's Shandong Taishan. Former clubs, they're not listed in there either. Shanghai United are listed in there.
So it must be a change of name. We
hope.
An all-time table. There's lots of different rivalries. The Shanghai derbies. There's a lot of Shanghai clubs, it seems, then. The Guangzhou derbies. Okay, so, oh, lots of bits about player salaries and transfers. So, because it was a boom, didn't it? So,
yeah,
the six most expensive transfers were players coming to the CSL exceeded 30 million. We have Oscar. That was 60 million euros. Oscar, crikey. We have Hulk from St. Petersburg. We have Alex Teixeira from Shakhtar Donetsk. We have Jackson Martinez from Atletico Madrid. Cedric Bakambu from Villarreal. And Yannick Carrasco from Atletico. Atletico Madrid knew it was up, didn't they?
Yeah. They knew they could get some money there. I was just looking, and I'm very, very intrigued by how they decide, like, who wins the league if it's a tie. Did you see that bit?
No, go ahead.
The list of rules. The league position is determined by the highest number of points accumulated during the season. If two or more teams are level on points, tiebreakers are in the following order. Highest number of points accumulated in matches between the two teams concerned. Okay, makes sense. Head to head. That's fine. Highest goal difference in the matches between the teams concerned, head to head. Highest number of goals scored in the matches in the teams concerned. Mm-hmm. Highest points accumulated by the reserve team in the reserve league.
Oh.
Then the next one, highest points accumulated by the under 19 teams in the under 19 league. Then it's goal difference.
They're trying to promote a whole holistic club view, aren't they?
Yeah. If all of those are joint, then it's drawn by lot. I think you've got to go a long way to get it by a flip of a coin. So, but yeah, just intrigued me.
Winning head coaches, we've got Marcelo Lippi and Big Phil Scolari have won three titles apiece, both with Guangzhou. We've got managers Fabio Cannavaro winning a title again. Ooh. With Guangzhou. Guangzhou would love that.
Josh, head coaches, what? Winning head coaches. Lujabar Tumbakovic, Shandong Luang. There you go. 2006-2008. Surely that's the same team. There we
go. Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Current head coaches, who have we got there? Slaven Bilic is out there. Okay. Jordi Cruyff, did not realise that.
Didn't know that. Fabio Cannavaro.
Not heard of Jean-Paul Van Gastel.
Great name.
Ivan Lenko, I remember him, yeah. And wow. There is a vacant position.
I was going to say
Steve
that.
Bruce incoming.
Oh, I hope that says Dong Fang Zhou next time we check.
That'll be nice. Attendances, so total attendances are average by the season. It's going up and up each season. Then each club, actually. So I was asking about this, wasn't I?
You were. Dali and Shide, you were asking what's their average attendance.
And they were rocking kind of around the 10,000 mark at a generous point, isn't it?
Except for 2006, where it was 5,000 people.
Yeah, but it's been up to as high as 17,000.
Yeah.
Okay, but each club's got it listed. That's lovely stuff, lovely stuff. Records for attendance, we had a 65,000 with Jiangsu Saintee and Guangzhou Evergrande. A 1-1 draw wasn't the greatest outcome. Player of the Year, Pella's not got it. Paulinho won it last time it was awarded.
Okay, so there's a distinct lack of Graziano Pella on this page.
I didn't want to. I've been talking a lot, but not many times I mentioned Pella. No. Golden Boot Award, he did not win it. That's unfortunate. Who won the Golden Boot Award? Not many players you know, actually, is there?
Wu Lei. He's just signed for Deportivo. He pulled in the biggest TV attendance outside of Europe for a European football game. When he made his debut, for Deportivo.
Yeah, wasn't there a game he played against another Spanish club and they had another Asian player and it was like, oh, this has gone big.
Yeah, there was one of them. Yeah, I can't remember who it was, but yeah, you're right. So what are we doing, okay, Josh? Because we could look at this page for ages. This is so full of information.
Yeah, I think we're basically going to have to move to the club.
Yeah, okay, Shandong Luneng.
Shandong Luneng, yeah. Which seemed to be a very successful club. But I think we need to move there, and then hopefully there is a mention of Pella.
Okay. Shandong Luang Taishan. Shandong Taishan Football Club. Chinese Super League under license of the Chinese Football Association. Nicknames, the Taishan Dui. Don't know that. Oh, meaning the team of Mount Tai. I wouldn't have got that.
That's a pretty, pretty weak nickname.
Yeah. 65 years old, including semi-professionally, they were 65 years old, but only went professional 27 years ago, 1993. They play at the 56,000-seater Jinan Olympic Sports Centre Stadium. So, currently managed by that well-known manager, Hao Wei. Excellent.
Away the lads.
Away the lads, yeah, exactly. They finished fifth last year out of 16, and they play in what looks like a very nice orange and blue number.
Very, very Dutchy. Very Dutch.
Yeah, very Dutch. Very Dutch.
Okay. Straight away, first team players. What have they got?
Yes.
Non-Chinese players, so I might have a chance of knowing them. We have Marouane Fellaini.
Marouane Fellaini's there, yeah. Jadson, once of Shakhtar Donetsk.
Is it that Jadson? I thought Jadson was an attacking player, and that guy's listed defensive. I think we've put two Jadsons together and got the wrong Jadson.
Wow. Jadson at Shakhtar's a right winger. So if he's playing as like an attacking fullback, Dani Alves.
Maybe.
He's got older, moved back a bit.
Rocking number four, and like Dani Alves, who rejoined Barcelona and got number 10 or 8, something
like that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, took Iniesta's 8, I think, wasn't it? I'm just going to click adjacent on Jadson because I need to know.
You want some Jadson confirmation. I need to know. Is it?
Nope. he's on loan at Shandong, by the way, just from Portimonense, who gets their second mention of the podcast.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, coaching staff, they've got a budget Philip Lahm on their bench. They've got assistant coach Philip Dahm. I need to understand what is going on here. Managerial history. We have got even more Serbians than we had before. So loads of Serbians at Dalian Shide. And Shandong have got Slobodan Sandrac, Doko Kukovicic. I'm going to stop there because I can't pronounce them. And Croatians. What is going on?
They've got, three Serbians, two Croatians, two Russians, four Serbians. I miss Radomir Antic near the bottom.
Oh, Radomir Antic. Yeah. Didn't he do some work in England, Radomir Antic?
I think he did, yeah. West Brom.
Pompey?
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. Could be Pompey.
Yeah.
Under Milan Mandarić, maybe.
It's another, isn't he Serbian?
I think he is Serbian, yeah.
Yeah.
Felix Magath is on that list as well. Wasn't he magical cheese on an injury to make it better?
Yeah, he was. He obliterated Fulham, didn't he?
He did. He really did. A number of honours, as you would expect.
Number of honours, yeah. Again, detail heavy. This is lovely stuff. There's no actions taken on some of these pages because, I mean, it's just a plethora of information. So, international players. So, I presume it's players who played internationally, since we have Chinese players in there. So, we've got Neil Lamptey. I remember Neil Lamptey, wasn't he at Celtic or Rangers?
Yeah, I think he was in Scotland. He was definitely in Scotland. I think he was at Celtic. Papis Cisse.
The scorer of the lovely sliced goal against Chelsea for Newcastle,
I swear I recognise the name Julio César de Leon.
I saw it and I thought, I just don't know. Wing back? Honduran, looks like.
Wing back, I think, for Honduras. Yeah.
Some nice Brazilians. Wagner Love, obviously. Wagner Love has to apply his trade out in somewhere where there's communism. Diego Tardelli. That's another good name.
That is a good name from the past. I remember that. We've got Fellaini's in there. Graziano Pella is in there.
He's in there, yes.
Nicolai. Oh, that name, Josh. Marius Nicolai. That holds very dear to my heart. Because old Pro Evos didn't have the name Nichols on it. So the closest I could get was Nicolai, and it was him, Marius Nicolai. So my player was always
If you layered over the commentary?
Yeah.
Is that... Yeah, so you had to pick something it sounds like, and it would go...
And it was Nicolai, yeah. Nicolai.
Yeah. I don't know who I chose in those. I was actually looking to buy an old Pro Evo the other day, because I thought, you know what, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So I was looking at maybe getting Pro Evo 6 for the Xbox.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that. It's got to be on Game Store somewhere. It'll be on there
somewhere. And that's the end of the page. But I think the most important part of that page is Graziano Pella listed under the UEFA International Players.
Love it. Let's go. Get it done.
So, baby, and it is that correct link. And that's that lovely hairstyle. That's a real... pristine hairstyle in his top right picture, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. It really is. I do have to say this live on the podcast that I did say, like, there's no way I'm buying Scott a pint. That was much harder than I thought it would be. Like, part of me is thinking, how different could it have been if we had looked at the under-23 team of the player of the year for Man United all those clinks ago?
Sliding doors moment there.
Yeah.
So we didn't mention going down the Chinese route to begin with, did we? But
did we not?
Well, I'm glad it did.
It was Dong Fang Zhou took us down there, didn't it? I don't think I've even thought about Dong Fang Zhou for about 10 years. So,
I mean, previously you've mentioned how good looking Paulo Dybala is, and we'll see comparison with Graziano Pella.
He's Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, he's not. He's no Dybala, but he's. He looks like you said earlier. He looks like he's sort of World War II poster boy. Come and join, sign up. You know, one of those sort of things.
Yeah,
and
your country needs you.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit too clean cut, rugged. Like, I don't know. Dybala.
Clean cut or rugged? Which one?
Look about him as well. So it always comes back to Dybala.
This has turned. A bit different. Right, let me run through how we got between the two links. Well, actually, we had one action, didn't we? Which I'll touch on, which was the misnomer on the Dalian Shide side where it said last squad, and there's not one single player from the last squad. So, the action, we've got two options here, Dave. Find their last squad.
Ooh.
Or remove last squad.
I'm going to do that in a... I'll take that action, and I'm going to go with... Number one is find their last squad, and I'm going to try that first. And if I can't find it, then I will just get rid of that.
Are you aware of Wikipedia archives? There's a history of all the editing history on a page.
Yes.
My guess would be to go to the time when they were a club in existence and find what it had then, and that use your link there.
Okay. I've just had a thought. Being someone who's been caught by the Wikipedia police... with my Melian Baroš updates that I tried to put in. Hmm. I wonder if someone has put it in there and just not had a reference and it got deleted, but the heading stayed as final squad.
Maybe.
I'll have a look through those archives as well, because you get to see what other people have had deleted. So,
yes, yeah, very I'll true. Have a look. Okay. Yeah. But in terms of our journey today, so we started on Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, and I'll tell you why we started on Sylvain Ebanks-Blake. So Scott and I were discussing this, and it's because we both work from home. He's a listener to the pod, and we're talking, and I'd seen... in someone's background, a shirt hanging on the wall shirt, Sylvain Ebanks-Blake. And I had the meeting, and there was other people in the meeting, and I said, any other business? And I said, yes, I would like to discuss the Sylvain Ebanks-Blake shirt on the wall. And so after Scott had chatted, he mentioned, because Scott had loads of things on the wall behind him, all Southampton stuff, so I was like, and that's how we came up with the two bookends of this podcast.
I didn't know that. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. All right.
So we started with Sylvain Ebanks-Blake, and it mentions that he was one of the chosen few to go on loan to Royal Antwerp, the feeder club. Well, the feeder club? I'm not quite sure how it works. It's an affiliated club of Manchester United, where a lot of players went on loan. And then there's a section there where it pulls in a number of players who went on loan. We had, you know, Craig Cathcart, Johnny Evans. We had Dong Fang Zuo. And we clicked on him because why not? And we both got a little bit sad reading through that page and how the choices he'd made in life didn't highlight his talents in his career, did he? But he played in the Chinese League, not Super League, with Dalian Shide. So Dalian Shide's side there. They played in the Chinese Super League, which is also where Shandong Taishan played, which is where Graziano Pella played. And therefore, we end with Graziano Pella from Sylvain Ebanks-Blake.
What a journey. What a journey. That is... frankly, quite ludicrous that we did that. And I just want to... We didn't click on Dong Fang Zhou because of why not. We did think that's a link to China.
there was actually a thought at that process. Point, but we didn't think China initially. But then you see... It's just one of those things. When you see Dong, you can't help but click on it, right?
Exactly.
You just
got to... Exactly. Well, I mean, this has been really good fun. And it's been great that it was submitted by a listener. And we've got another listener-submitted journey next week, which I'm very excited about as well. Which now this one was really hard. I'm thinking that one's going to be very hard with how it starts.
Yeah, because the first bookend of that is fascinating. A player I've never heard of, played in the English League in just a little bit before Paul Rideout era, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. He's got some talent.
It should be interesting. But it does bring an end to this week's podcast, though. So we'll say thank you for listening. Feel free to send in your starts, ends, or a whole journey that you want us to go through. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. But after that brilliant journey, we'll see you next week. Cheers.